Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench. Everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake. It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 central on CBS.
Hackers are after your business data. I can help. I am Vi, the virtual intelligence assistant at Virtual Armor.
Virtual Armor, partnered with Juniper Networks, provides cybersecurity services and end-to-end solutions to keep what's yours, yours. Defend yourself with managed firewall and managed SIM essential core services that are economical and efficient. Virtual Armor goes beyond just initial alerting to provide a thorough report on threats, vulnerabilities, and results.
Let me help protect you. Contact me at JustAskVi. That's VI.com.
The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
Investment advice provided on the following program is on an individual basis. Listeners should not consider today's discussion as a recommendation for any investment and should carefully evaluate before investing. This is your Real Estate Today on News Talk 1110 WBT.
Hello and welcome to the show, Your Real Estate Today. It's Paul Jamison, your host. Happy Saturday. Glad you're with us on this Saturday, and thank you for being out there. I'm here with Josh Leipick with the Costner Law Firm. Hey, Josh, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing well, thanks. How are you?
Doing really, really well. Thank you. We're excited today. We've got a whole lot to talk about, and as you all know, we're still in this COVID lockdown period, but again, I still see a lot of very positive trends. So Josh and I decided when we were talking together to do a couple of things differently. Number one is we're not going to talk about washing our hands. We're not going to talk about Anthony Fauci. We're not going to talk about wearing a mask. What we're going to talk about is how we're doing business, how things are going, some things that we think will change, and some things that I think are important to know. And then we're also going to talk about today some things. I got some things to share with you around credit score. How about that? That's always going to be an important factor. So, Josh, what do you say? You up for it?
I'm here and I'm ready.
Okay. All right. Well, let me just talk about a couple of things. I was talking the other day with a very good friend of mine, Jason Johnson. He's the head of economic development in Sandersville, Georgia. He's an old friend of mine. He used to be in Matthews and worked for the town of Matthews, and now he's head of economic development in Georgia, at a town in Georgia. And we were talking about his role with the changes that are going on. And one of the things I asked him about, I had two things I wanted his opinion on. Number one was everything now, as we look to doing business from home, I think that there are going to be some more permanent changes that come as a result of working from home. I think in some industries that working from home is going to become the new normal. And I think that talk about working from home and the environment will be more of a conversation. You know, it's interesting. He told me that he was scheduling a meeting with someone to go over some things and talking about the time. And the guy said, well, he said, this time would be good because by the time I get my kids ready, dressed, ready to get on the computer and do school, I will be ready for a meeting at this time. So not only do I think that many businesses are going to say, you know what, you've been doing pretty good from home and things have been working pretty good and I don't need to pay $28 a square foot to house you in a high-rise office building, I'm going to let you work from home. And from a business perspective, now the employee is paying for internet, is paying for heating and air, is paying for space for their employer. I mean, what an interesting thing to start to think about. And since you guys know I'm a marketing guy, it also offers me a very unique opportunity to change a little bit of the conversation around selling a home. And exactly how I'm going to do that is as follows. I'm going to begin to look at the home and areas of the home and discuss how they're adaptable to a work-at-home environment. You know, Josh, you made a great point when we were getting ready for the show. You talked about how today you wanted to talk about not just where we've been and where we're going, but where we are. And where we are is a home working environment. And I think, to your point, we can begin to have that conversation. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely where most of us are, probably right now.
Yeah, exactly. And also, manufacturing jobs. I think the United States of America got a wake-up call about supply chain, about manufacturing, about dependency, about our medical environment, and about things that, and stockpiles, you name it. I think there is going to be a big reawakening of the logistics environment, how things move from one place to another. And I also think from a manufacturing in certain industries. You know, I think the old expression, you know, cheaper isn't always better. I think that we're seeing now that cheaper came to call. And that if we had maintained control of our manufacturing in certain industries, that we would be sitting in a very, very different place right now related to demand for certain products. So I think there's going to be a stimulating conversation, an incentivized conversation around manufacturing, supply chain, and logistics in our future. And I think President Trump and many others will be incentivizing that. And as economic developers, like Jason was telling me, I think that that's going to be our future and that a lot of economic development is going to be driven by those market sectors. Okay. I also think the real estate market will have more of a virtual presence. I think we have seen that if you get creative enough, there are ways to represent property when they cannot be shown more than just pictures and other ways to do it. I believe that we're going to be doing more virtual type walkthroughs. And I think that there will be some movement towards a level of commitment before people go into homes that are occupied for a while. And there are certainly now forms and ways to do that in our current market. But I do think that's going to happen. Also, I want to talk about our real estate market. I want to talk about Charlotte and the Charlotte region, the North and South Carolina regions that can hear my voice right now. The typical market is March, mid-March, right around Easter time, through when school starts. Call it August 14th. And typically, the transaction, if it's school-related, has happened by the 4th of July. This year, I expect we will still have a vibrant market. If we get back to work somewhere around mid-May, I think that there'll be a slight delay in the vibrant market, and I think it's going to be very active for a period of time. I think if we don't get back to work until mid-June to early July, I think we're going to see the market bloom next year, for the most part. There'll still be tons of activity in the fall and winter. that's pent up that is not school related. But when we talk about our real season, probably 40 to 50% of it has a school tied to it in one form or another. And those are my estimated numbers. It might be higher, it might be a shade lower. But I think we're going to see the bloom a little bit later. All right. So many, many things to talk about today. And I think how we're going to start it off is I'm going to have Josh after the break talk about, you know, some things that we are doing right now to adapt. And he's going to share some of those after the break. Josh Lippick with the Costner Law Firm. Myself, Paul Jamison, with the Jamison Family of Companies. And, oh, FYI, I promised you after I got the rent collections in April that I would tell you what the results are. And I'll do that after the break to let you all know I had predicted a certain level of off collections. And I'm going to give you the real numbers when we get back. The show Your Real Estate Today here on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. Stay with us. Welcome back, friends. The show Your Real Estate Today. I'm Paul Jamison, your host with the Jamison Family of Companies. That's Jamison Realty, Jamison Property Management, Jamison Property Investments. Hello from the WBT studios here with Josh Lippick with the Costner Law Firm. You know, right before the break, I promised you that I would tell you about rent collections, and then Josh is going to discuss with me what they're seeing through these current times. All right. So, believe it or not, I had predicted somewhere between 10 to 15% rental, either deferral or just flat out not payment on the rent collections in our portfolio. That is what I sent a video to my owners to discuss, and this was in mid-March. I'm thankful to say that collections were only off about 7%. So I don't know what May's going to bring. Depends on what we do over the next week or two and if they declare an order to go back to work. But I'm excited to say that it was most people stepped up and paid their rent, with the exception of a very few. So that was really, really good news. And everyone has been communicative, which is great. They filed for their unemployment, et cetera. All right, Josh. So let's talk about it. What's going on? What are your thoughts around today and adapting to the current state of things?
Yeah, well, you know, obviously there's a lot going on right now, but you know, one of the things I think is important to remember right now is that we're all being impacted by this in some way or another, whether it's people in the real estate industry, buyers and sellers, every vendor in between, from us as closing attorneys to realtors and lenders. We're all, you know, under incredible stress to adapt and to learn new ways to work and to function. And then a lot of us are probably dealing with things outside of work, how we're being impacted, whether we have relatives who are sick or kids who are home unexpectedly from school. So, you know, a lot of people are dealing with this, you know, in a way that's making this time very interesting. But, you know, I think it's important that we practice patience and good communication with everybody involved in this process so that we can work together and, you know, still provide the same quality and service that we always, you know, aim to provide to our clients.
Yeah, you know, Josh, one of the questions I had for you in relation to this, and we hadn't really talked about it, but it'd be interesting to hear from your side of things. You know, you have many, many relationships that take place just besides the law firm. So there are other pieces to the puzzle that you have to reach outside for in order to get a closing done, like a title clerk to do the title search, or a title company, or lenders and other partners that are a part of the transaction, the city to get the thing recorded. There are all these other variables that circle around your world. Are you finding that it's causing a delay of a few days? Is there anything that stands out where you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't expect this? Or are things still pretty clicking along and about the same timing?
I haven't noticed any significant delays outside of what would ordinarily be expected under normal circumstances. I think for the most part, people have really banded together through this difficult time, which is something our country has had a history of in difficult times. And, you know, it's actually a great thing to see and very uplifting and, you know, one of the ways that we know that we will get through this.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, Josh. I got a, and we'll move on to the next topic. I got a notice from my insurance company saying that during this time they're going to lower my rates. I was like, thank you.
Wow, yeah.
You know, I mean, it was like, I guess they're doing that for everybody. They're lowering my commercial rates, my auto rates. Obviously, I'm driving less. That's, you know, probably a help. But I just, I mean, I was really surprised by that, that they sent me, I never inquired anything. They sent me a notice saying, hey, we just want you to know that we want to do our part. We're lowering the premiums and the rates on these policies. It's kind of surprising. It's pretty wild. So I didn't expect that.
I offer that.
Yeah. And, you know, you had said here that in your second point that agents and lenders, anyone not signing or unable to attend a closing, you know, how are you working through that process? Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So, you know, in order to protect our staff and to best protect our clients as well, we're trying to limit the number of people coming in and out of the office as much as possible. So we're operating physically on a skeleton crew with as many people working from home as possible, and then asking that other parties that would normally come in do the same, so that we only have the essential members there for the closing, being those who are signing. You know, sometimes people want to bring a relative or a boyfriend or girlfriend, or they want to bring their kids. And obviously, you know, with kids especially, since daycare and school can be difficult right now, we'll make exceptions where needed. But, you know, if people, you know, have questions for their lenders or for their agents during closing, we encourage them to either FaceTime or video call or just call in and be put on speaker. And for the most part, it doesn't feel quite like business as usual, but we're able to get everything done in the same way that we would ordinarily.
Yeah, you know, you had mentioned in there the curbside closing. I found that to be really fascinating.
Yeah.
So what's going on there?
Yeah, that's been an interesting one to adapt to. You know, people are still welcome to come into the office for the time being. We may reevaluate that policy. But for those who may not feel comfortable coming into the office, having to touch the door handle, things like that, even though we are sanitizing every room before and after every closing, and we're offering fresh pins to everyone, sanitizer in every room, which is a hot commodity now, obviously.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Bring in the big purse.
Yeah. We haven't had to get lifted yet, so that's good, too.
That is good.
But, you know, some people may feel more comfortable not having to come in. So the curbside closing is maybe if they're in a susceptible population or just have general concerns, we're allowing them to just come into the parking lot, call our office, and we'll have someone come out and from a safe distance or as safe as possible, hand them their package along with a clipboard. And we've been sending them to them ahead of time so they can review it and know if they have any questions, since it's a little difficult to go into it in quite the same level of detail as we would at the table. But for those who opt for it, they seem to, you know, for the most part, understand the difference in that process there. And it's been going smoothly.
Let me ask a dumb question, if I may. Have there been any instances where you've done a Zoom closing where the buyer, you, and the agent are on a call together looking at documents?
Until we get some, you know, updates to our policies and regulations for lenders. Many of those forms would still need to be notarized. And that's one of the examples of how I think the world will change after this. I think we'll probably get a push through on, electronic and virtual notary. But I haven't done any like that yet.
Yeah, because I don't think you can record off a virtual notary, can you?
No, not at this time.
Not in Mecklenburg County, anyway.
That's right. There might be some states where that's different, but I'm not sure. I'd have to look into that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's interesting because I'll tell you the hard part for me, Josh, and we're going to about 30 seconds from break. The hard part for me is that I don't get to share the moment with the buyer, or seller. And it's really hard because I love being there, because it's a journey that you're on with them. And then it's like Moses, you're standing there after 40 years watching everybody go into the promised land and you're kind of left behind. Probably an exaggerated example, but you kind of get what I'm saying. We want to be there to the end. It's how you finish, right? You finish and you walk over the finish line together. So it's a little bit of a bummer, but,
Yeah, those are the moments that remind us why we do what we do.
Exactly. So we just celebrate later. Deferred celebratory times. All right, well, we'll be right back to Show Your Real Estate Today here with Josh Lippick with the Costner Law Firm. Myself, Paul Jamison, your host. We're having a day. Here we are, the Show Your Real Estate Today here on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back, friends. The Show Your Real Estate Today. Paul Jamison, your host with the Jamison Family of Companies. That's Realty, Property Management, and Property Investment. We're glad that you're with us today. If you are interested in investing in real estate, we hope that you would reach out to us or get a copy of my book, and surely glad to set up a meeting with you. But you can get my book called Opportunity is Knocking. It is about investment real estate, how to get involved, and some things to know as you look at that as an option for building wealth for yourself. You can get it at Paul Jamison. That's Jamison with an I, pauljamison.com. Or certainly can get a copy on Amazon, but it won't be signed by me from Amazon. If you order it through pauljamison.com, I will autograph it and send it to you. All right, Josh, let's talk a little bit about buyers. Vacant homes are certainly what you're able to show in Mecklenburg County. And, of course, in other counties outside of Mecklenburg, you can show. You can still do some home tours for some certain reasons in Mecklenburg, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Tell us a little bit about your thoughts there.
Yeah, so I know there's some categories that where buyers can be given an exception to go do home tours, like if they have rental leases that are coming to an end.
Right.
If they've sold their current home. I believe there's a third one as well. And I don't believe so that the real estate commission has set time limits on these either, as far as what constitutes a lease nearing its end, whether it's a month or 2 months, or if the home has been sold already, or if it's listed to be sold or under contract to be sold. I don't know if they've weighed in on fully defining all of that yet.
Yeah, there's some open ends to it. The third was that if they're moving into a senior living facility, or alternative care facility, and they need their home to be shown in order to sell it. But, the vacant homes has certainly opened up the door a little bit to allow for showings. The other is if there's money at risk, and you and I were talking about that a little bit before. Now, that's a whole different, interesting subject. At money at risk, I was showing with you. What do you think about the new addendum for showing property, Josh? What do you think about the idea of putting money at risk in order to show?
Well, yeah, I think it's a great solution for this situation here because, and I'm sure you know as well, there's still a considerable amount of interest from buyers and investors in this area. But I know some people, even if their incomes are stable and they're interested in purchasing, they might be a little weary for various reasons. But one of those being you know, the fear of putting down due diligence funds on a property that they haven't seen yet. And that's money they might walk into the house and decide after they're under contract that they're going to lose that money and hadn't had any guarantees of any time before they agreed to it.
That's right.
So this, as far as having money at risk goes, it's separate to the standard offer to purchase contract in that you're paying to see the house outside of the due diligence funds. And from what I understand, this can be as low as a dollar.
As long as
there's some, you know, demonstrable money involved, skin in the game, if you will. And once you've seen the home, you can then decide to terminate and your due diligence funds aren't at risk, or you can give them the money there.
That's right. That's exactly right, Josh. And I think it's a great alternative. I have used this already where we had out-of-town purchasers that we went under contract. So you consummate the offer to purchase, went under contract. All the terms were negotiated. And this new form was used where they sent my seller a dollar. And that dollar was non-refundable. So then what they did was they went to the house. They practiced safe showing, you know, gloves, footies, sanitizer, looked at the house, and then they had a decision to make. Time was of the essence. Either that they walk out of there and the contract is terminated with nothing but a dollar being paid, or they left the due diligence check per the contract on the kitchen counter, made out to the seller. It was one or the other. And the contract then takes over at that point and works through normal procedures, appraisals, inspections, blah, 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 blah. So all of those things happen as a result of this, and money was at risk. So to your point, a dollar was enough. That's money at risk. And it was a good way to make sure that you were far along into the process before you made or had anything at risk or risked anybody as a result of going into the house. So I thought that was good. All right. So there's still people buying and selling out there, aren't there? You guys are definitely seeing a lot of activity, and it doesn't look like 2008, does it?
That's right. You know, and I think like you mentioned earlier, when we got started, you know, maybe April and May aren't going to be what we would have typically expected for this time of the year, and certainly earlier this year when things had been trending to be much higher. So there has been some slowdown, but you know, as far as those who you know, are still able to work or work from home and their incomes are stable, and particularly in the investor market, we're still seeing a lot of interest and new contracts as well.
Yeah, exactly. You know, one of my properties got an offer from some folks in New York. And I will say that I think that there will be a migration from certain dense parts of the country where working at home will be more prevalent. And I think that there'll be a lot of people that may be coming from New York, California, Boston, to the Carolinas. I really do. I feel like that's going to be something that we see. Now, I do think that there'll be more of an impact on those markets from a real estate perspective than Charlotte. And I don't know that they think that, but I think that because I think there'll be a good amount of people leaving. I don't think that the market is going to be hurt nearly as much. It may slow just a tad, but I think that will resume quickly. We're in the second hottest market in the country, folks. I mean, second to Austin, Texas. I think we're going to be much more stable, and y'all will be smiling much bigger than other parts of the country related to real estate. So you put a note in here, Josh, and I liked it. You talked about communication. Tell me about what you were thinking when you wrote that.
Yeah, well, communication is always going to be important in this process. As you'd mentioned, there's a lot of different parts that are moving through here to make sure everything runs smoothly. But now, especially more than ever, since we're not seeing each other in person, we're not going into the office, we're not all meeting together for closing. You know, it's just so important that everyone's on the same page throughout, that we're practicing good communication and asking questions when they need to be asked, and just making sure that we're not you know, allowing that to fall through the cracks just because we can't physically be together.
Yeah. And I think, to your point, when you wrote this note, what I really liked about it is, you know, just everybody having an extra step of patience in this whole thing, you know, and not trying to, there's enough stress in moving and real estate already when you're getting down to, you know, it's one of the biggies, right? Marriage, kids, and moving, you know, realizing that it takes a little bit of extra patience because we're in some new territory as it relates to the transaction. And so I really like that you said that as well. And I think that makes a really big difference. And I think there'll be some good things that come out of this, don't you?
Absolutely. You know, and I was having a similar conversation the other day with a realtor in the area. And I think we all know that there's been a heavy saturation in real estate generally in this area because the market's so hot. And there's been a misconception, I think, that working in real estate is easy money. And we've been blessed with a great market, but I think this will be a reminder for a lot of people that, you know, you have to be able to fight through the tough times to thrive in the good times.
That's right.
You know, I think, you know, the people that make it through this, they're going to end up faring far better once this is all over and things resume to the track that they were on, since, as we had mentioned, this doesn't feel like an echo of 2008.
Yeah, well put, Josh. I like that. Josh Lippick with the Costner Law Firm. I'm Paul Jamison, your host. More to come. The show, Your Real Estate Today. We're glad you're with us. Happy Saturday. We'll be right back on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. Welcome back, folks. The show, Your Real Estate Today. Hope you're having a good Saturday. We're glad that you're with us today. I want to spend a little bit of time, if we can, talking about credit score. I think one of the most important things we can do, and one of the biggest things, this information is compliments of Money Magazine, and want to give them the credit for it. Talked to a gentleman had sent me an email about this information, and I certainly want to make sure that they get credit for it. You can certainly look it up on any issue of Money Magazine, a good source of information, so check it out. But let me just give you some insights. One of the things that I thought was really common sense thinking, but also insightful, especially in these times, is, you know, a credit score and a good credit score unlocks so many different things for you. From the opportunity to borrow money to the opportunity to borrow money for less, especially as we talk about real estate, and it makes a big difference. And it makes a big difference sometimes in the terms of deals and the types of things. Even if you could afford it, are you able to work with a bank in a reasonable enough way to make it make sense? And credit score is certainly a big part of that. You know, there are things that affect your credit score. And there are five categories of your credit score and the percentages that it affect. Number one, payment history. Payment history affects 35% of your credit score. 35%. So when you have a late payment, think about the impact that that's going to make on your credit score. The amount you owe has a 30% impact on your credit score. The length of your credit history has a 15% impact on your credit score. And new credit, your new credit, yeah, if you go out and get a new credit card, has a 10% impact. And the mix of your credit, i.e. credit cards, auto loans, and 90 days, same as cash, whatever loans you have, that mix is about a 10% impact. So changes to any one of those categories can affect your score. So just really think about those balances. I was told, I think it was Sandy Dickinson with Summit Funding and was talking to us about, like, let's say, for example, you have credit cards that have a $30,000 credit limit. They say not to charge more than a third of that balance, or $10,000, because it begins then to affect your credit score. So keep your balances under 10, and it has less of an impact on your credit score and those factors involved. So negative impacts, late payments or non-payments. And folks, right now, thinking about that revolving credit, you know, one of the misconceptions, Josh, that people have had is that they defer rent or they defer a mortgage. And they think at the end of the 60 days or 90 days, whatever their deferral period is, that they can just keep on going and make their payment. There are very few mortgage companies that are tacking those 60, 90 day deferrals to the end of the loan. What it really means, and this again is the misconception, that after 60 or 90 days, the whole amount is due. The whole amount. So if you're deferring for 3 months, at the end of 3 months, you're going to owe 3 months. So in one lump sum. So be aware of that. You know, a late payment can change a credit score, what was it, 35%? That's a big deal. Charge-offs can affect your credit as much as 100 points. 100 points. Bankruptcy, 200 points, easy. Foreclosures, at least 100 points, if not more. Repossessions, 100 points. Judgments, 100 points. Collections, 100 points. I told you guys the funny but not funny story about my son who went to the dermatologist. He is 39 years old. He's been going to the same dermatologist since he was 2. Well, guess who was the guarantor on his 2-year-old dermatology visits? Me, his dad. Well, when something happened and the insurance didn't pay his dermatology visit, guess who was still on their records as the guarantor to the 39-year-old son? That would be me. So when I was refinancing, Sandy calls me and she says, well, what's this thing about this medical bill that you haven't paid? I'm like, I don't know about that. So long story short, it affected my credit score 90 points. 90. We got that fixed. My son was too big to spank. But that's okay. I love him. All right. Did I say that out loud, Josh, or was that just a thought bubble that burst? I think I did.
Heard you over here.
Yeah. TJ, you might want to think about zipping that. I'm just kidding. All right. So identity theft. Now, identity theft is not your fault, but I'm just going to tell you, it takes a major, major reconstruction of your credit score. Credit card theft, browsing unsecured websites and malicious software, mail theft, phishing, credit card skimming. When you're hit with identity theft, I have a client and a friend that happened to. It just absolutely sent them for a tailspin. And it takes about a year to get all that stuff straight. A year. So, what do you do? Get a free copy of your credit report. You can go to any of the three main bureaus, Equifax, Experian, or TransUnion, and obtain a free copy in the following ways. You can get online. Go to annualcreditreport.com. You can phone 877-322-8228. sorry, I coughed in my elbow. Or you can mail them a request. And I don't care about their address, neither do you. All right, so Equifax, of course, had a major breach in 2017. So I wonder if their credit scores hurt. Their monitoring service, I actually have them, not them, but I have Experian. It's about $21, $22 a month. I like it because I get notifications if there's anything negative that comes up on my report or if anybody pulls it. If you dispute a credit report, you can get under the Fair Credit Reporting Act, the FRCA. It requires creditors to report accurate information. So if you see something that is not correct, file a dispute. And you file it directly with the reporting business. Initiate that dispute against them. You can hire a professional credit repair service. I don't know about that stuff. I haven't looked much into that. You better just be careful. There's also some government repair services called the CROA, and you can look into that. You can also, of course, get credit counseling from the National Foundation for Credit Counseling, the NFCC, or you can just pay it and get it deleted. And you can also write a goodwill letter. You can wait it out. That can be up to 7 years if you got something on there. That's a long time. So, Josh, I think that about covers the credit stuff. Is if people are interested in getting in touch with you to do a real estate closing or a real estate deal or have a real estate question, how do they get you?
Sure, yeah. They can call me direct on my cell phone. That number is 704-430-5378.
All right. Or you can reach us at 846-DUNN, 846-3663. The Jamison family of companies, that's Realty Property Management and Property Investment. We would love to help you and work with you. Stay safe, sneeze in your elbow, and have a good Saturday. Take care. God bless. We'll talk to you next week. The show, Your Real Estate Today.
Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench, everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake. It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 central on CBS.